Welcome home.
It's good to be home.
As you can see, there are new connection cards in the seat in front of you. If you're a guest, we'd love to know more about you. Or if you have a prayer request, there's a space on the back. Drop them in the giving box in the foyer. Volunteers are needed to clean the upstairs apartments and launder the bedding. See Pastor if you are able to help. And next Sunday, August 31st, we will be extending the right hand of fellowship to new members and presenting baptism certificates. And September 11th, the Keswick is hosting a dinner concert at Franconia Heritage from 6 to 9 p.m. with a love offering. The Tuesday afternoon ladies' Bible study at 1 p.m. resumes September 9th with their new book, Jesus and Women. The car show has been rescheduled for September 26th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And there is a prayer team fellowship at Pastor's House on September 7th at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you, Jason. Good morning, church. We have, you know what? Let's do that welcome home again. That was a little weak. I don't think we were ready for it. Welcome home. Oh, that's so much better. Well, you know what? We have a great God. And in Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience, to love him, to serve him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Let's stand, please, and acknowledge the greatness of our God.
Universe is the Lord. He is holy and just. By his power we trust in his love. Great is the Lord. He is faithful and true. By his mercy he proves he is love.
Great is the Lord
and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord. Now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice.
Some of you heard this year or this week that James Dobson passed away. Focus on the family. And there are others in our congregation that have loved ones who have passed on. And if you would remember them in prayer. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray before him and lift up our hearts before him. Oh, Father God, we exalt you. Praise and glory to you, our Father, for your great love for us. Praise and glory to Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died. He is our rescuer. He saves us from the worst of ourselves and our sinfulness. Praise you and give glory to you, Spirit of God, who indwells in us and keeps us when we have trouble keeping ourselves. Father, we thank you that you are so good to us and that we are able to lift up our voices in prayer. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Father, it's just an awesome statement to think about that we can actually pray to the God who made us, the God who made the universe, and that on a Sunday morning when the world is getting ready to go back to school and to end summer and to do their last flings to the shore or vacation to the mountains, that it matters that you meet here with us. In fact, you longed for us to be here in your presence, and we thank you for that. And so we want to lift up as a church family those that are going through difficult times. Thank you for answering prayer on Lizzie's behalf, that she is home from the hospital and doing well, and that you answered prayer in a very specific way to give her some caregivers that are able to come every day to the house and help her with physical therapy and with changing things and the nursing skills that the family doesn't have. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that you'd be with John Rimmer as he continues to have his dialysis throughout the week, and others, Lord, that are sick and not doing well. We just want to lift them up and ask your strength. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those that lost their loved ones. I think, Father, of Mark and his mother who passed away, and also Mike, who lost his brother-in-law, George, families of Alex, Alex Bonacatera, had a friend named Steph who passed away this week. And Father, our hearts are when we're reminded of death, we're always reminded of what David said, that we go through times where we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil because you are with us. So, Father, thank you for being with us today. We love you. Make us a church that is a church of prayer. Make us a church that's real and authentic and not hypocritical. Sometimes the world around us shows themselves to be so false and so fake. Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength that we need to be fully formed into Christ, our Savior. And we know that all things are possible through him. And we pray these things through his name, for his glory, and for his goodness. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, here's our Bible reading for this morning. I'm going to bring up the scripture reading. And we're going to do it responsively. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And you're going to notice in two areas of devotion that the people of Israel were supposed to have, giving of alms and charitable gifts to other people, or basically giving of offering, as we would call it today in church. And also in the area of prayer, and how that the Pharisees were very hypocritical pretenders in that. So notice that as we're reading the scriptures this morning and as we look forward to our message. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when
you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets,
as the hypocrites
do in the synagogues
and on the streets to be honored
by others.
Truly, I tell you,
they have received their reward in full.
But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing,
so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners.
But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words.
Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
God knows what you need even before you even pray for. Amen. And he does answer our prayer. This is the confidence that we have, that if we have asked anything according to his will, he hears us. Let's continue to worship.
Would you please stand if you're able?
Of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His mantle over us is love,
the sword, the word of God.
We tread the road, the saints of love, with shouts of triumph trod. Still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the world, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his victory. faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory.
This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. John 1:5-4.
O Most High King of the ages, great I am, God of wonders. By the blood you have redeemed us, let us through mighty waters.
Our strength, our song, our sure salvation, now to the Lamb upon the throne.
Be blessing, honor, glory, power for the battle you have won. Alleluia, amen. O Most High, dwelling among us, Son of Man, sent for sin. Redeemed us, harmless Lamb, mighty Savior, who lived and died and rose victorious. Now to the Lamb upon the throne, be blessing, honor, glory, power.
Upon the throne.
you may be seated, and children are dismissed for children's church.
Have an bulletin. If you picked up a bulletin, we always put the outline in the bulletin. And I also want to point out something. At the end of the bulletin, there is a daily devotional. And I hope that you've seen that and that you are taking advantage of that. Jason Quintel, who was our family hour teacher for a couple years ago, had moved last year up into Rhode Island, and he still works with us as a men's group, and he still teaches us via Zoom when we meet on Saturdays. And he has done the devotional portion of this, and I have just really appreciated all the work that he has done in that. And I want to encourage you that as we are doing this study of being like Jesus in this world, just living the Jesus way, how important it is. And we're doing these messages because Jesus wants to expand our influence. Do you realize that Jesus is real and he wants to make the realness of his life in our lives go from day to day, moment to moment, so that he wants us to grow in him. He wants us to deepen our roots, like our theme here that we've been working on throughout the year in our church verses. Why should we do that? Because we don't want to be pretenders. And that's what we titled today's message. And Jesus, as he's teaching to us lessons from the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we've changed last week. We kind of turned a page from chapter 5 into chapter 6. And Jesus was giving us some really hard sayings, and they've been really hard. And some of you have said, Pastor, oh, wow, this stuff is really deep. This is really hard stuff. You know, this idea of purity and marriage and loving your enemies. And we all know that we're not perfect in that. And even Jesus says in verse 48, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, because he doesn't expect us to be perfect in everything that we do. And yet, how is it that there are people around us that are still pretenders? They're still pretending. So as we go into this message this morning, will you just bow with me real quick? I really want our hearts to be focused and sharpened. And so I just want to pray this prayer. Father, would you speak to us today? Would you make our hearts larger so that we can hold more of Christ and make your word real to us? And we ask this in Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been scammed by a fraudulent phone call? Yeah, maybe you've even encountered a pretender in your life, one or two. Just this last week, I found it very interesting as I was looking at the news that there was a nurse in Pennsylvania who has been caught. I mean, imagine, can you imagine, for 5 years, she has been practicing nursing in people's homes, especially for those that are elderly and in hospice situations when they die, and she doesn't have a nursing license. Never had it. Can you imagine how these families would feel turning on the news, and you're sitting there and maybe your loved one is in the bed next to you, and they're getting closer and closer to that valley of the shadow of death, and you're looking at the news, and they say, all of a sudden, and her name was, I have to look it up because I didn't memorize it, Shannon Nicole Womack.
Can you imagine how they must have felt when all of a sudden, wait a minute, this news story, the police and the FBI caught this Shannon Womack. That's my caregiver. And that she was pretending to practice as a nurse without any education and no nursing license. Well, is that bad? Yeah, it is. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine the shock of those families when they discovered that I'd be calling all the bank accounts to find out if she emptied the bank accounts? I'd be checking all the medication to make sure she didn't take the medication. But that's what she had been doing. And she had been doing it undiscovered, not just in Pennsylvania, but three other states. And she'd been doing this for over 5 years. How did this happen? I can only imagine. Well, the news reported this. Womack started this idea during COVID when she couldn't get a job and the only jobs available were care jobs. Nobody wanted the care jobs anymore because everybody was leaving the nursing homes. And when asked, what can you do? She told people that I'm a nurse. I care for people. And she, in her own defense, it said that she said, I didn't start this thing trying to be something I'm not. I just cared for people. I love people and I want to help them. But what it did was it ended up her putting on this pretending, and the whole thing became more than she could handle, and she started taking their medication, she started taking from their funds, and she started helping herself to their things in their house. And she was, never intended to steal, I just love people, I just care for them. And then that's what happened. Can you imagine the heartache of that? Can you imagine, though, if there was a news report this morning and they put your face up and everybody in church are sitting here and your face is up on the screen? I should have thought of this. I should have put my face up there, you know, just for a good illustration. But your face is up there and it's saying, this person is a pretender. What? A pretender. You are fake in your Christian walk. You might have started out sincerely trying to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and but you've just gotten yourself into these habits of doing things that Christians do. They pray, they worship, they witness, they come to church, but they're dressed up, they look the part, but somewhere in the heart, something's missing. There's something not real there. And I think that what Jesus is telling us today is to be careful not to pretend in our walk by faith. And I think he wants us to be very careful as Jesus' followers. We're not pretending before others or this world or our church family or anybody to be something we are not. And so we're going to look at verses 1 through 6, and we're going to just look at four things that he warns us about in order to not be a hypocritical people, a mask-wearing people, in order to be everything that God wants us to be. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here is be watchful, be careful. Don't pretend in your charitable acts. Don't pretend in your charitable acts. Just look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do. I'm using the New King James. It says, do not do your charitable deeds before men. Some of the translations says alms, that you don't give alms or give money before men. Some, the NIV says, you don't practice righteousness or do your righteous acts. Why did they use that as the translation? Because when you become a Christian, you get rid of your old self-righteousness and you are given Jesus' righteousness. You know that, right? It's a transfer of righteousness and being right before God. And so they use that translation of self-righteousness or righteousness to be a little closer to the heart, a little closer to home. Because what they're trying to say is when you do things that are right before others, be careful why you're doing them. Be careful that you're not pretending. Be careful. And, you know, if you could think of the three things that were the most noticeable things that a Christian or a Christ follower would do in Jesus' day, the three things are almsgiving, praying, and fasting. And of those three, I think the majority of us as Christians have no problem with the praying part. We do really well in praying. When it comes to almsgiving, we do seasonal on that, unless we give a tithe every week. Some of us, we don't think to give unless it's tax time and we got a really good return, or unless it's Christmas time or Thanksgiving time when the atmosphere is charitable and you see the guy dressed up like Santa ringing the bell on the corner of the Walmart. We don't think about giving things out to others until those times of year. Fasting, that's a whole nother story. Some of us don't even know what that is. But we'll get to that in a few weeks. We'll talk about what Jesus would have us do in that area of life. And so these Pharisees, they were putting on performances. I don't know what it would have been like to walk with Jesus up into the synagogue, but I can imagine we're walking up into the synagogue and you would walk up into, or even the tabernacles in Jerusalem, and you would, not tabernacle, the temple. Got to get my words right. You would walk up into this great big plaza in the temple, and all around the plaza, there were 13 places where you could give to the Lord or to the poor. Kind of like our box out here. But there were 13 of them. And you would look around, and they would, these boxes would look like great big trunks, and on the top would be like a tuba horn. Or you remember Victrolas? The old Victrolas, they would have that flaring Victrola cone or funnel at the top. And that would be in the top of these boxes. And so the Pharisees, what they would love to do is they would love to take, show off their giving. And the best way to do it was they would come into church with their wad of bennies. How many of us like to bring our $100 bills to church? And instead of slipping a $100 bill into that container and letting it slide down into the box, that would be quiet. Nobody would notice that unless you just happened to be standing next to the guy and go, hey, that was a $100 bill. Now, what they would do, they go up to the money changers. They take their $100, give me $100 in coins. Better yet, give it to me in pennies. So there would be 100 clings. And then they take, they look like our kids when after they do their yard sale stuff and they're going to the bank with their big bag of pennies, and they would walk up to this container and they would take it and they would shake it out and the thing would ring and ring and ring and ring, and it would echo all across the whole temple complex. And it was almost like they were blowing a trumpet. Look at me! Look what I'm giving! They literally would do that. And some of us, when we look at, we think about that, we think, nobody does that today. Nobody does that. Remember that thought. I'll pick that up. So Jesus gives us this warning. Look at verse 6. Take heed. And that's the idea of be warned. Be on your guard. It's a Greek word, proshado, which means to be at attention. Don't let your guard down. Don't let it slip by you fast. You got to keep looking at what's going on. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds. I think that's a great translation. Your acts for the poor, or your giving to God that will benefit those that are needy, is really what the idea is here. But be careful you don't do it before men to be seen by them. That word seen is, in the Greek, it's theatron. It's where we get our English theater. And I mean, how would you like the things that you're supposed to be doing for God to be put up on a screen for everybody to see what you do all day? I mean, they could see what you're doing at your workplace. They could see how you dress to go to work or how you dress to come to church. And they could see you singing, you know, and you're there and you're putting your hands up and, oh, you're getting into it. And then the prayer time when the pastor's praying, they're putting up on the theater. You're praying too, and the tear goes down your cheek. And everybody's watching this. And you might even, after church, you might even, oh, I'm gonna theater what I ate. Is anybody getting an idea that we already do this? It's called social media. It's called Facebook. You guys have been posting things that you've been doing all week on this stuff. And you've been posting out your verses and posting out your devotionals and posting things to be seen of men. But are you pretending or are they real? That's what Jesus is warning us about. He is basically saying, if that's your intent, if you're doing it to be theatered, oh, wait, yeah, we do that all the time. If you're doing this to be a theater, you are going to get your reward from your Father in heaven, because the God who sees exactly what you're doing sees your heart. Now, here's some questions we need to ask ourselves. Do we ever do good things to look spiritual? Do we ever try to look God-focused for someone else's benefit and not God's? Do you ever feel the pressure to maintain an image or to keep up an appearance or struggle to be a people pleaser, but you're not thinking about being a God pleaser? That's what Jesus is warning us of. And if there is a siren going off in your heart, that's the Spirit of God saying, warning, warning, be careful, be careful. Here's an application. Am I pretending to be more spiritual than I really am in my faith? What are my motives when I give an offering? What are my, to be honest with you, sometimes we don't like to give our offering to God because we have needs. We have things that we need. Maybe we have a bill or an unmet need and we're struggling. God, if I'm faithful to give to you first, if I give my tithe first, I'm worried that I'm not going to get something that I need. Or because we're unwilling to give up a practice or something that we're used to doing that makes us feel good, like going out and eating out all the time. I'm just using an example. I'm not saying eating out and giving is wrong. None of these things are wrong. You should be giving to the Lord. You should be coming to church. You should be showing yourself a good Christian and a good Christian. But are you doing it with the motive of being seen by men, or are you doing it for the Lord? When you're in praise or when you're in worship, or when you're doing a service for the church and no one thanks you, or you do a special music and nobody says, that was really good. Do you love others or help someone else in the community who had a need, or take someone to the doctor, or just sit down and pray with somebody? Do you do it because you want thanks? We always joke in our family about a member of our family who always says, they always give you like a birthday card, and they always, when they hand it to you, they always say, I don't give it to you because I want thanks. Sure. Right? But what is the heart in that? Be warned that if we are doing things like a theater, that we're not doing it for the Lord. Here, look at the second verse. Be aware that your performance isn't for the applause or the appearance's sake. Look at verse 2. Therefore, there's the conclusion. When you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. And that's, remember when I was sharing with you about the giving receptacles in the temple area? That's what he's referring to. Do you remember the story that takes place in the book of Matthew of this widow who was poor and she didn't have anything? And do you remember that the disciples were making comment about all these people are giving all these great offerings, but Jesus turns around and he says, you know, there was this poor widow who gave a mite. And a mite is if you could see, I have a replica of what the mite looks like. And it looks like what it sounds like. It's a very, very small coin. It's so small that it hardly looks like a coin. A mite was like 1/36% of a day's wage. And I'm not smart enough to be able to calculate that, but if you have good brains and you have good math skill, I wish my brother-in-law or my son-in-law was here, he could tell you what that percentage is. But it's like giving a half penny in the offering. Something that's not going to be noticed, something that's not going to be amounting to anything. But it was sacrificial to this woman because it was all she had for the week to live on. And yet she did that and nobody noticed. And the only one who noticed was who? Jesus. And that's a great example of what this is trying to say, what Jesus is trying to say to us. Be aware that whatever your charitable action is, that you're not doing it for applause, you're not doing it to be seen, you're not doing it so that others will know and reward you. When I was a kid, I was always frustrated by these things in our church. They were little plaques and they stuck on a pew. Did you ever have those growing up in your church? This little Baptist church in Jackson Baptist Church. And it would say, in memory of Doris so-and-so. And I remember saying, Mom, Dad, did that lady die here? You know, it's like a tombstone. Maybe, you know. But why is that there? Oh, that's in loving memory of. Well, nobody ever thanked her? For coming to church? No. She bought the pew. Oh, so it's her pew. Nobody else can sit in the pew? No, it's her pew. See how we think as Christians? You know, we can take something that's meant to be good and innocent and okay, and we can flip that around, and we can make it something it shouldn't be. And if we're not careful, we do that even in our Christian faith, where we're doing something for somebody, but after we've done it, we don't seem to get any thanks, especially if it's a service, especially if it was something hard for us to do, something that took a little bit out of us, something that took a little bit of our investment in order to happen, whether it's time or money or a gift. And we keep saying, oh, this is a gift, this is a gift, this is a gift, but yet we're wanting something back. And if we're not careful, we will put so much focus on that it causes us to turn into a pretender. So that we're not being honest and real and trustworthy and doing it for the Lord. You know, we always say, I'm doing this for God's glory, but are we? I mean, it really makes us ask the question, why are we doing this? I love reading Spurgeon, and when I read this quote, I was so floored. This appears in a message on holiness that he wrote, and you get this. He says, our Lord Jesus Christ's heart was expansive and unselfish. He gave himself for his enemies, and he died breathing a prayer over them. He lived never for himself. You could not put your finger on one point of his life and say, Here he lived for himself alone. Neither his prayers, nor his preaching, nor his miracles, or his suffering, or his woes, or his glories were with an eye to himself. He saved others. Remember the cross? He saved others, but himself he would not save. His followers, that's us, we're doing the Jesus way together here. His followers must, in this, follow him closely. Selfishness is as foreign to Christianity as darkness to light. Let that hit you like a truck. Selfishness is as foreign to Christianity as darkness is the light. The true Christian lives as unselfish as Jesus. Wow. So let me ask you, are you craving man's approval or God or applause? Why do you need to be thanked for that? So we're to be watchful that we're not pretending. We need to be aware that our performance isn't for others' applause. Thirdly, be certain of your heart's motive when you give. Not seeking recognition back. Not seeking recognition back. Look at verse 3. He says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Okay. This is one of those hyperboles. This is one of those things. He's using a figure of speech to make a point. Okay. Does your right hand have a brain separate from your left hand? No. Have you ever tried, do this with me, pat your head and rub your tummy? How many of you are doing it? Do you have to think about it? Why? Because the same brain is telling your right hand to pat your head and your left hand to rub your belly. So for some of us, we're still not doing it. We're still trying to figure that out. What Jesus is saying, what does Jesus mean when he says your right hand's not supposed to know what your left hand is doing? I mean, what's he doing? He's basically trying to use a figure of language to let you know that hands don't have a mind of their own. But let's say they did. Make sure that what you're doing over here with your left hand isn't known or being told or proclaimed by the right hand. Make sense? It's really simple. It's not rocket science. And look what he even used the word up in the previous verses, or in the next verse, verse 4. He says to do charitable acts in secret. That word secret is a word that's the idea that it's only witnessed by you. It's only witnessed by you. It's focused on being done by you, not so that other people can see it, but only so that you see it. Why? Because if we really love Jesus, here are some applications. Our giving, if we are doing it other than for God, we are robbing God of his glory. God weighs our motive and not just our actions. Remember the story of David? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? On our heart. Know why we're doing it. Even a small, humble gift can be great in God's eyes. Give with the right motive, and you can't outgive God. Pray for increase and pray in our life that we hear him say, well done, instead of the world's applause. But yet, so many of us, even as Christians, we struggle living in this world trying not to get their accolades. Why do they call this generation the trophy generation? Why? Everybody's got to get the trophy. Everybody's got to be the winner. But you know, God has this thing figured out. And it's not by everybody getting a trophy. It's by having a right heart. And that leads us to the fourth point. Or let me ask this question first. Sometimes I've discovered this. Am I covering something that might be wrong in my heart when I'm worried about getting thanked. If I am focused on getting the credit for something that I'm doing, might be an indication that there's something wrong down underneath. Bob, I'm gonna tell on Bob today. Where's he at? Looking around. Where's Bob? There he is. Hey, Bob. Bob was telling us, bless his heart, Bob is going to be taking a trip, and he goes to Canada. And this year, he's going up along to Nova Scotia. In the past, he's going up to the Pacific, right, and all the way up in the Pacific West. Was that last year? Okay, that was last year.
18, I went to Alaska.
Yeah, he went up to Alaska last year. This year he's going up to Nova Scotia, and he makes these trips, and it takes about a month to do it. And he takes his time doing it. And I said to him, it's a good thing. It is a good thing that you know how to fix your car, because every time he goes on these trips, something goes wrong. Okay? And he found out, he was telling us this morning in Family Hour, he found out that there was something wrong with his car, and his truck, and it was leaking. And he took it, and they found out that a wasp had gotten into this line and blocked the line. And can you imagine that? But it was causing the problems. So in our hearts as Christians, there is sometimes this spiritual wasp that gets into the system and clogs our heart when it comes to doing things for the Lord. Are we doing them for him, or are we doing them for ourselves? And if the Lord is telling you there's something wrong in that channel of our faith, are you willing to look to see if there's something wrong? Because sometimes I think we are seeking things from other people that'll never, ever fulfill us. Even though we're seeking praise or attention or something from other people, it's never going to satisfy us, because it can never do what God can only do. Do you realize that you were made to be noticed, loved, and delighted in? Because God made you for that. And that's what leads us to number 4. We talked about these as in be watchful, be aware, be certain. But now, be real before God, seeking only his approval and no other, accepting his rewards. Look what it says, that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and that's the idea of getting something back, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. That word reward is taken from a word, apodosomai, which we get the English word appropriate. He is the one who will appropriate to the real motive of our heart, give us what we deserve. He is able to give back the return. He is able to give fairly. He's able to repay what we fully deserve for what and why we did something. Only he can do that, and he's going to do it. And these religious people, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, when they were doing all this show-off stuff, and a lot of us are like, yeah, we wouldn't go to that extreme. But there might be areas in our heart that are blocked. And we might be doing some things that we're not thinking about, but we're really not being honest before God, and we're not being real, because we're not trusting that he's going to see it and he's going to give the appropriate reward. Because we don't want to miss out on something. We don't want to miss out on a recognition. We deserve that trophy. We need to be praised. We need to be championed. But yet, the emphasis here is our Father in heaven, who really sees and who really rewards and sees what you do, and it counts. I love our grandkids. I love our kids. And I know you could get tired of hearing me telling the stories over and over again, but I just love my kids so much. But I just can't help but say that I often think that's how God views us. Our Father in heaven made us to be noticed and approved in his eyes. And he's constantly watching our lives. We took all our kids and our grandkids for the first time in a year that we were able to do something. We went to Knoebels Grove. You know where that is? I love Knoebels Grove, that park. And we took all our little ones and we put them on these rides, and they're going around, and all the grandkids, and they're all going, "Ooh, look at me! Ooh, ooh, Dad, 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 Mom, 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 pop up, me mine." You know, they want to be noticed. Look at me! Look at I'm on this ride and it's great. Look at me. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But listen, you have a Heavenly Father who sees you. And just as we have this longing desire inside of us, God, look at me. Am I doing it right? Or help me out, Lord. Lord, do you like what I'm doing for you? God does see, and He notices, and He is going to give it to you. He is going to take care of you. That's what Jesus is saying. Your Heavenly Father, who sees everything in secret, will Himself reward you openly. Just as when we are doing things for men, we're trying to get some kind of an approval. If He gained that approval, you just got your pay. You're sacrificing that from your Heavenly Father's pay, which might have been more or better. So as Christians, we don't want to be pretenders. As Christians, we don't want to be fake. We don't want to be dishonest. We want to be watching our Father. Because what we got to be careful of, pretenders don't care what their Father thinks. And we got to be careful that we don't posture and preclude our authentic relationship with Jesus by trying to get the approval of other people. Who really are my influencers? Today, the buzzwords today for young people and millennials and the Z generation, whoever came up with that one? Do you know, two of my kids are Z generation? Molly and Greg, they're Z generation. I don't know about you, but I would feel offended if somebody called me a Z generation. It just sounds so like zombie apocalypse negative. It just, you know. But yet, all these young people, they want influencers. They're always looking for somebody to influence them. And they're always posting things to show their influence. If we could instead gear our heart, that word secret in the Greek is crypto, for cryptocurrency. It's the reward that is concealed that might not be seen by other people, but it's going to come from God. Do you do your righteous deeds for God's eyes only? Because He sees you and He delights in you. And that means when it comes to doing what you do, you don't have to perform anymore. You let yourself off the hamster wheel of approval. Free yourself from self-focus and fakery and pretense. Free yourself from living before other Christians, worried about what they're going to say about you. Do you realize how your Heavenly Father delights in you? Do you realize what He wants for you? Do not, all this comes down to the heart. And really the heart, once again, we're reminded of this spiritual truth that the heart matter is the matter of our hearts. Now, is this a pretender or a predator? Yeah, both, right? Satan does this too. Remember 1 Peter? That lion walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, be on your guard. Be ready. Don't let your faith be fake. I want us to remember that we need to choose Jesus and to be real in Him. And there's something refreshing about the simplicity of being real and not having ulterior motives and have no hidden agendas and the absence of hypocrisy and duplicity and political games and verbal superficiality. I have to agree with the people who say, you know, I hate when people play mind games with you. I hate that. What's all that about? And when it comes to areas of our lives, we want to be real in Jesus. And some years ago, I stumbled across a children's book that contained a message for us today. I think it's a message that goes along with what Jesus is saying. And in the story, there are two main characters. One is a little stuffed rabbit. and he's all shiny and new, and he wants to be loved by his child. And the other is a stuffed horse who is wise and has been around the nursery for years and years and years. And in the process of talking, he asks questions that should be our questions. And if you want to know what story this is from Marjorie Williams' The Velveteen Rabbit, which was published in 1958. And so I want to read you this as an ending to remind us that we need to be real in Christ. And this is how it goes. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old, his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath. Most of the hair of his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. But he was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive and boast and swagger and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand what it's all about. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you or a stick-out handle?" "Real is how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" said the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Well, does it happen all at once, like being wound up, or is it bit by bit?" "Well, it doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long, long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easy or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and are very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to the people who don't understand." Are you real in Jesus? Are you real in Jesus? Do people understand that about you? Father, thank you so much for this day, for your blessings. Thank you so much that we can seek you to a God who can be found, and we can call on you because you are near. Father, forgive us as we confess our weaknesses and our abilities to fake our way through life. And sometimes our faith isn't sincere, and sometimes our desires to be thanked and applauded by others is a little bit more than what we truly care to admit. But if this is a moment where we need to be real, Lord, we come to you. Father, thank you for knowing the motive of our hearts. Holy Spirit, thank you for being the one who sincerely can make us real and make us like Jesus. Father, help our public us, the public you, be real and the same as the private you, or the private us. Help us to choose Jesus, and Spirit of God, help us not to be self-seeking in our ways. Help us to long to be selfless like you. Protect us from the religious fraud and false faiths that are out and around us. Give us joy in the cross and delight in our salvation, and fill us today with this fresh love that makes us long to delight before you and know that you think of us and you love us, and we bring smiles to your face. Father, it's not about me. It's about you and the glory of your name. Help us today to say, you alone are God and I surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Amen. You're dismissed.